Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Luke. And we're going to start here in chapter 3. And the title of this week's message is, The Word Came to John. Luke in chapter 3 and verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iduraea, and the regions of Trachonitis, and Licinius the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, of course, a lot of you, this is probably a familiar scripture, and you may think, well, what, you know, this ain't saying a whole lot. But I want to share something with you that I really love about the word of the Lord here. It talks about Tiberius. It's the 15th year of his reign here in the first part of verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. So we got Tiberius holding the position of Caesar. And then it says Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iduraea and the regions of Trachonitis, and Licinius the tetrarch of Abilene. So here was all these political figures. These men, you know, right down, starting up at the top with Caesar, the emperor. And then you got the governor, Pontius Pilate. And then these other men holding the position of a tetrarch. And, of course, we know that Herod, was just basically, he was a puppet king, so to speak, over the children of Israel. He wasn't of the lineage of David. And what would happen? These Romans would go in, they'd conquer a land, but they would appoint, you know, somebody local to be in a position of authority, and it would kind of be a way to keep everybody under control and keep peace, to let them think they had a little bit of autonomy, that they had a little bit of self-rule because they had one of their own sitting in a position of authority. But really, Rome was pulling all the strings. But it mentioned all these big shots and all their big shot titles and their political positions. And then it also mentioned, here in verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest. Now here, you know, we know that the Lord set up the priesthood, starting with Aaron and then his sons after him. And these men were supposed to be the greatest religious leaders as far as the children of Israel were concerned. They held a position of high priest. But look here what it says next. After it says Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, it said the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, into the wilderness. The word of God came to John. It didn't come to none of these big shots holding none of these big shot titles. It didn't come to Caesar. Old Tiberius over there didn't get the word of the word of the Lord. He didn't have the word of God come to him. Neither did the governor, Pontius Pilate. The word of God didn't come to Pontius Pilate. And then these other men that's mentioned here, Herod and Philip, and they have been tetrarchs, and Licinius been a tetrarch. These three men holding these title of tetrarch, the word of God didn't come to them, these big shot political leaders. Neither did the word of God even come to these men holding position of high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. But the word of God came to John. The word of God came to the man of God. Hallelujah. You think about that. All these big shots that man was so impressed with. A lot of them would see John. They probably didn't think a whole lot of him. He wasn't fancy dressed. Oh, you know, he wore just a leather girdle, and his garment was made out of camel's hair, and he had a leather girdle about his loins. He didn't have fancy cuisine. He wasn't eating $100 steak up in the White House. You know, people eating that stuff up there now, I believe they're paying about $100 a pound for that premium steak up there. Well, I tell you what, I believe tax dollars could be used better or something like that, don't you? Well, I don't doubt this splurging back in Herod's day, back in Pilate's day, back in Caesar's day, they spoil, I guarantee you, they splurging. They wasn't eating peanut butter sandwiches, so to speak. Of course, that is long before there was any such thing as peanut butter. Just understand what I'm saying. I'm sure they eat the best that was available. Most of these big shots are good at that. Oh, but Paul John, he eat locusts and wild honey. He was living off the land. He didn't have fancy cuisine. He probably didn't eat as fancy as I do. Every now and then, you know, Lord bless me, I'm able to work regular. But me and the family, we'll go over at one of these local restaurants and get a nice sat-down meal. It's something a little better than going through the drive-thru. But you know what? Most of what we get through the drive-thru is fancier than what John was eating, living off the land, and locusts, you know, and then that wild honey. You know, hey, I tell you, he just had a real plain wardrobe. He had a real plain diet. There was nothing fancy about John as far as what the world perceived. But he is the one that the Word of God came to. The Word came to John. And the Word of God always comes to the man of God. It'll always come to the people of God. It's just like now. The Word of God ain't coming to the White House. It ain't coming to the United Nations. It ain't coming to NATO. It ain't coming to... I live in Tennessee. It ain't coming to Nashville. Over to the governor's mansion. It ain't coming to Richmond over there, you know, in the governor's mansion or wherever state you may abide in. That ain't where the Word of God comes. The Word of God comes from the man of God over to the house of God. It comes from the people of God as they're out in the world doing the work of God. That's where the Word of God comes. You got to go to the source to get the Word of God. You got to come to the Lord. Well, guess what? We're in His ambassadors here. Well, John was sent before Jesus to prepare the way and make it straight. The high place has been made low, low place is made high, the crooked made straight, to prepare the way of the Lord. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His path straight. That's who John was. Hallelujah. The Word of God didn't come to none of these big shots named here with all these big shot titles, with all this authority and power and bestowed upon them by man. It came to a little country preacher named John the Baptist. Hallelujah. He come out of the wilderness. He didn't even have a fancy place to stay. He wasn't in the ritzy-rich neighborhood. He dwelled out in the wilderness. He didn't even have a fancy pulpit to preach from, a big church up on the hill. But hallelujah, he was down by the riverside telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. The Word of God came to the man of God. Boy, I tell you, I read that and that jumped off the page at me and I loved it. Hallelujah. And I thought maybe some of y'all might enjoy it too. The Word of God came to John. The Word came to John. It didn't come to none of these big shots. It didn't come to Mr. President. It didn't come to Mr. Governor. It didn't come to Mr. Senator or Mr. Congressman. It didn't come to the sheriff or the mayor. But the Word of God came to John. The Word of God comes to the man of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I'm glad that the Lord exalts the lowly. He that humbleth himself shall be, he that exalteth himself rather shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Boy, if we humble ourselves and become the servants of the living God, hallelujah, we get access to the Word of God. And you tell me something better to have access to than the Word of God. Tell me something that has more authority than the Word of God. I thank the Lord for the United States of America and been able to live in this free land, even though it seems like our freedom is getting rapidly diminished. Been kind of looking for that, by the way, for our freedoms to get infringed upon. And our nation seems to be the policies, the official policies coming out of Washington's turning against Israel. That saddens me. It breaks my heart because he that blesses Israel will be blessed. He that curses Israel will be cursed. I believe we need to bless Israel. But it seems like this nation's policies are going the opposite direction in spite of public opinion. That saddens me, breaks my heart, but I've been looking for it. But hey, we need to stick with the Word of God. The Word of God didn't come to none of them big shots. It came to the little lowly country preacher. Didn't have a fancy pulpit. Didn't have a fancy place to stay, didn't have a fancy menu, he didn't have a fancy wardrobe. But boy, he had something powerful. The Word of God. And like I was getting ready to say there, heard somebody on TV, and like I said, I love this nation, and I appreciate the Constitution. But there's a bickering about some issue. I don't even remember what it was. All I remember and all that stood out to me in this exchange between these two individuals on one of these news programs. One of them said to the other, and said, well, which have you read the most, the Constitution or the Bible? And the person responded, well, the Constitution. And the one that made the statement said, well, I would hope so. Hey, I believe you better read your Bible a lot more than Constitution. I appreciate the Constitution, but what gives me true freedom is the Word of God. He said the truth will make you free. It's the Word of God that gives me liberty. It's my Creator that happens to be referred to in the Constitution. But we get acquainted with Him from His Word. He's the one that's endowed us within these inalienable rights. Not the Constitution. The Constitution just acknowledges that. The Word of God confirms that. It conveys that to us. We're endowed with inalienable rights from our Creator. He said He came to His own. What kind of rights we got out of the Word of God? He came to His own. His own received Him not, but to many as did receive Him, to them He gave them power to become the sons of God. It's more than a right. We got more than rights out of the Word of God. We got power. I believe one of these revised versions translates that word power into the word right. Well, the Bible tells us they'll have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Well, I believe in the power of God. He gives power to become the sons of God. We have the choice and the opportunity given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. He was delivered for our offenses, and He raised again for our justification. That gives us the opportunity to make a choice whether to be the Lord's or not, to come to God Almighty and be adopted into the kingdom of God. He gave us power to become the sons of God. That power is issued to us in the form of a choice when He said, let whosoever will come and take of this water of life freely. Jesus said it's for everybody. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gives us a choice. We have the power, not just a right. It's more than a right, it's the power to make a choice. Listen, on Judgment Day, it will not be the Constitution we stand before. It'll be the Word of God. The open books of the Word of God is what we'll stand before. He said the books were open, and another book was open, which is the Book of Life. And every name that wasn't found written in the Book of Life, that Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. The Word of God said the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. That's where you'll be for eternity if you're not enrolled in the Book of Life. How do you get there? You go by what the books say. What's the books say? To believe on the Son of God, and His name's Jesus. To trust in His shed blood on Calvary's cross to cover your sins. And to hope in His resurrection that you can have hope of eternal life by that power. That's where we get salvation. That's where we get cleansing and redemption, a free pardon from sin, is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. A lot of people turn from it. They won't have it. They'd rather have the Constitution. Appreciate it. I ain't belittling the Constitution. I'm exalting the Word of God. The Constitution's a man-made document. The Word of God is forever. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. And that's who that's what made the difference in John. He had the Word of God. It didn't come to none of the big shots. It came to the man of God. The word of God came to the man of God. Hallelujah. Boy, that ought to make you happy. And it's continuing to be passed on through the generations from faith to faith. It's our turn now. We're on the stage. The word of God is in our hands and we need to pass it on. We have power and authority from the throne of God to pass on the word of God. Oh, think about that. Every time you witness, you're exercising the most powerful thing God ever gave man. His word. See, John, Jesus talked about him. He said there wasn't a greater prophet born among women than John the Baptist. John had already told him, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He said, I baptize you with water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John didn't pretend to be nothing he wasn't. He didn't pretend to be a big shot. He was just preaching the Word of God. He didn't even work any miracles. Some of the people that seen John and heard him testify Jesus, they went and seen Jesus and they seen the miracles that Jesus did. They said, John did no miracle, but every word he spake of this man was true. Kind of thought about that scripture there. I thought, you know, John wasn't a miracle worker. But he was a truth teller. Hallelujah. That's something we all can be. Truth tellers. Jesus told the Father, thy word is truth. The word came to John. The truth came to John. The truth makes us free. Pass on the word of God. It's more powerful than any document man's ever come up with. It's what will judge us in the end. The word of God. According to our works. How our lives measured up according to the Word. You better have Jesus as your Savior. He'll set you free. Hallelujah. It ain't the Constitution that's made me free. It's the Word of God. Because I tell you what, somebody's been born again. Like Apostle Paul, he was more free, locked up in the jail, than the jailer was on the outside of the cell. And Paul and Silas in there praying and praising God and singing. Got that old jailer under conviction. God shook the jail open. The jailer was going, he thought, uh-oh, buddy, if I let my prisoners loose here, these Romans will torture me to death. They'll crucify me. I better go ahead and fall on my own sword. Paul said, don't do yourself no harm. We're all here. He called for a light. And he sprung in and he was trembling. He fell down before them brethren and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, fellas, I want what y'all got. Y'all were more free in jail than I am out of jail. He said, you believe on Jesus. Ah, that set him free. The Word of God set him free. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. Jesus / the Word of God set you free. Notice when it refers to Him like at it, when it says the Word, it was spelt with a capital W. But here, John, Jesus said there wasn't a greater prophet born among women than John the Baptist. Well, he didn't work no miracles. We see Moses. The Lord used him. When the Lord parted the Red Sea, the Lord used Moses to stand there with the rod stretched out and the strong east wind blew all night. We see Elijah. Bringing fire down, praying at the Lord, and the Lord sent the fire down from heaven. When he challenged the prophets of Baal, we see the Lord give Elijah the prophet power to heal different ones. And Elisha done twice as many miracles as Elijah, if you count through them there in the Old Testament, because he asked for a double portion. Daniel. You know, the lions didn't get him. Daniel had power to interpret the dreams. All these men of God, wonderful, righteous men of God, did all these different miracles and signs and wonders. John didn't do no miracles, but Jesus said he was the greatest prophet. How is that? Well, John had a distinct, wonderful, great privilege and place in history. As John stood down there on the Jordan preaching the Word of God that had came to him, Didn't sugarcoat it. Boy, he said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, repent and bring forth fruits meet of repentance. Even the soldiers, he wasn't afraid of them armed men. When they asked him, what should we do? He said, do violence to no man. You know, and be content with your wages. What does he mean? Because, you know, soldiers obviously have to fight. He's telling them, don't be pillaging and plundering and harming the innocent. You just do your job as a soldier and don't be pillaging and plundering and taking from folks. You just be content with your wages. He wasn't afraid to stand up to them armed men and preach hard and straight to them. But see, look here, there he was, down in his humble pulpit there by the river, in his humble wardrobe, garment made out of camel's hair, leather girdle about his loins, probably had eaten him a meal of locusts and wild honey that day too, as probably most days. That was his diet. That's what he eat. You think, locusts? Well, you can look back in the Old Testament there when the Lord had Moses to tell him what was clean and what was unclean. And the locust was a clean beast, or clean creature rather, that they could eat. But John had a distinct privilege. As he was down there telling them he wasn't the Christ, but the once coming him is mightier than him. Wasn't worthy to stoop down and latch his shoes. John just baptized with water. He baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. John had the distinct privilege to introduce Jesus to the world. And here come Jesus walking along the banks of Jordan. And John looked up and he saw Jesus walking and he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. He introduced Jesus to this old world. And now we got to go and introduce the world to Jesus. He had that distinct privilege of showing them, being the prophet that introduced Jesus. You know, whenever they have a big joint meeting over yonder of both houses, bodies there with the House and the Senate meeting together and all those military big shots, president going to address the nation, and that one has, I guess, what they'd call an honor, the world would, of introducing the president, and they say, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States. And different ones that got to introduce different big shots. I remember back when Michael Jordan played ball. Oh, it was with a lot of drama. They had to introduce Michael Jordan. And the crowd would cheer. Well, he's retired and some of his records has been broken. See, he ain't that much of a big shot. He's a lot more wealthy than me and was gifted talent with a lot of athletic talent. You know, but does he have a testimony for Jesus? The greatest introduction that ever happened, or ever will happen, was when John looked up and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus came down there and he asked John to baptize him. And John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus suffered to be so, for we must fulfill all righteousness. And so John obeyed the Master and he baptized Jesus. And you think, just like an old song, many, I guess that song may have come out even before I was born. It's an old song, at least I was a little kid. Oh, I wonder how John felt when he baptized Jesus. Boy, I tell you what, I'd say he about felt like walking on the water. You think about what an honor and a privilege. He baptized Jesus. Jesus wasn't sinful. He was without sin. But he set an example to be pure before this world and to be willing to show the world whose side you're on. See, baptism, water baptism, is just showing the world what's already taken place in the heart, that we've accepted a Savior that died and rose again for our sins, and that our old man is dead, buried, and a new man is risen. It's a testimony to that, an outward testimony to the world of what's already taken place. in the heart. And boy, Jesus come up out of that water. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost descended and landed on him in the form of a dove. And God the Father spoke from the throne in heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. John had that great privilege of introducing Jesus to the world. Now it's our turn to introduce the world to Jesus. We got to tell people about Jesus. Because the Word of God is in our hands now. The Word of God didn't come to the big shots of this world. The Word of God came to the man of God. The man of God. The Word of God came to John. And it's been passed on ever since to the other believers. Each generation has had to pass it on to the next. And it's our turn. The Word of God has come to the people of God now, just like it's all through the generations has. And we need to keep passing it on. As John introduced Jesus to the world, we got to introduce the world to Jesus. And we got to handle the Word of God with great care and diligence and tell them that Jesus saves. If you've never been saved, you need to turn to Him today. Until next time, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.